Good morning once again.
Megan said, "You nervous?" And I said, "Not till you told me that." It's good to see everyone once again. I spoke to Mike at the wedding, and we were discussing about you want to do a lesson, you want me to do it? And he's like, "Tell you what, go ahead." And I thought, man, I ain't got a lesson yet. So I'll just be honest with you. I usually preach at Louisville the lesson I give, and then I tweak it a little bit. So you're going to get the brunt of this one. So if it's bad, you can encourage me to tell me, hey, change that point or whatever. Thank you, Jeff, for reading that verse in Matthew, kind of describing about foundations and how we are, and when things come up against us, how we are able to maybe either overcome them or we kind of just fold, right? Some of us do that in life. And when I think about that myself, I think about what kind of foundation I have in this life and how am I able to overcome these situations. But that's not what the lesson's about. And Wesley, we need your clicker, because that's not one to work. All right. Thank you. So, today's lesson is participation trophy. And if you've thought about that in your life, but where did this come from? It's actually been around for quite a while. 1920s to be specific. But participation trophy, what does it mean? Well, when you think about a participation trophy, I want you to think about this. This is driven to Christians sitting in this building. And I want you to think about what it actually means as you sit here today for yourself. Participation trophy is a trophy given to children who participate in a sporting event but do not finish first, second, or third place and so would not normally be eligible for a trophy. It is frequently associated with millennials. Critics note that some children also do not value them as much as they do normal trophies that are given to winners. Defenders of the participation trophies argue that they teach children that trying their best is good enough, even if they do not win. I think Turks was glad the participation trophies came out. Right? Because there wasn't that many given out when I was a kid. Actually, there was none given out. And I think a lot of us are in that position. Think about that. But this has come from a millennial generation. And you always talk about this. So all the baby boomers get blamed because the millennials came from them, right? For the most part. But they think about why? Why do we blame certain generations? Because it's all of us. All of us make up each one of these generations, right? So why do we blame certain people for different actions? And that happens to a lot of us in church, saying, you know what, they weren't strong, so my kids aren't strong. And that's not a good way to identify a Christian. So, when I'm going through this lesson, I want you ever ask yourself, am I just going through the motions? Am I? Am I just sitting here going through the motions? Am I expecting to make it to heaven because I'm baptized? Talk to a lot of people in different denominations. Baptized and good. We don't have that thought, do we? Once saved, always saved? Is that what you think? That you're going to make it through because you're baptized? I never contribute, volunteer, assist in the Lord's work. I'm just a participant. I feel like I'm just getting by. What would inspire you to take the lead, participate in the work, or basically motivate you to be a better worker for the Lord? What would do that? In your life, what would make you feel that I can be better? So let's look at a few things, all right? Let's look at a few things that I feel like myself could be an encouragement to you. Let's look, first of all, Megan asked me if this was just me, but myself means you too. All right? Myself is I. Everyone in here. I. Talk to a few people in their life that there's always been an issue with them and what they've been involved with. And the common denominator was never them. Or the issue they had in their life, whether it was something they did, smoking, drinking, or whatever, they didn't come to realize it. That it was not, it was them the whole time that caused all these problems. But they did come to realize that. 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So if the Lord's not slack, which what is slack? What is it? Moving slowly, sluggish, lacking in activity, not busy. He's not like that, so why am I like that? Why am I okay coming to services? Or why am I okay participating just briefly at events and thinking that's fine? He's not like that. He's not slack. So you ask yourself this question. Am I just a participant trophy in this congregation? Have I grown any in the past year? We're going to talk about reasons why we don't grow here in a second. But in 1 Peter 2 and 2 it says, "The newborn babes desire the pure milk, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." You know, desire is just this intense feeling towards the Lord. I really, truly love my Lord, so I have this intense desire for the Bible, the knowledge of it. That's why you're just a participant. Because you don't have that desire in your life. Then we get to this Corinthians, and he talks about, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for now until you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able." Have you ever felt that way? I haven't grown any myself because I've got some milk, but I don't desire, right? Now, it happens to a lot of us because we get this, you realize that a baby, it's their natural instinct to desire the milk, isn't it? And then eventually they grow past that. But why haven't you grown past it? Why haven't I grown past it? You got to reflect back when you're and say, you know what? You know why? Because I didn't desire it. I still don't desire it. I still don't have the strong passion for the Lord to desire it. So why don't you want to grow? What's keeping you from teaching? Why am I not participating in services? Why do you sit there in this blank stage of your life and realize, you know what? I didn't do anything for the last 10 years. I didn't make one bit of iota reflection or impact on a certain person's life. Participation trophy for the congregation. How are we as a congregation? We've done a good job. This house, I mean, it feels like this building's packed. 2 weeks ago, I went to a congregation in Florida. They had a service at 9 and a service at 11. And you ask Megan, I have no idea how they could, if they all met at the same time, how they fit in there. Because it was packed for our second service at 11 o'clock. And we've seen a lot of people come out of the 9 o'clock service. Well, I'm getting at it. We can always grow, can't we? But some reasons why we don't grow. Some reasons is because there's conflict in the church. Conflict within. So we don't hang. We hang on to the past accomplishments. We done great. 20 years ago, you know how long has it been now? Since 2011 we built this building. It's amazing, right? Still looking back, that's a brand new building. We like about it. It's 10 years old already. That accomplishment's gone, right? That's in the past. Don't hang on to it. Christians are only focused on themselves. I can't really get anything done because they're wanting to do all these things in their life. They have certain things. You know what? I've heard people say this, "Ty, this is my time in my life. I'm only young this time." Yeah, that's your opportunity. We blame culture. This group of people, they're the most backward. They don't want to do nothing. They want to be sheltered. This COVID did this. You name it. Everything under the sun because we don't want to go out and seek after people. All talk, no action. Tell you what, we're going to get this done out here. 6 months later, we're going to get this done out here. I'll be honest with you, Darren. I was thinking about that HDMI cord when I was sitting there singing that song. I was getting ready. I'm just thinking,
I put him right on focus. Sorry, Darren. Not only magnified the situation, right? All right. I couldn't have cued that any better, right? So, and you think about those things, though. You think about no action. I don't have to worry about that anymore, right? As a preacher, Rick, he confessed this. It was stressful. Oh, man, I got so many slides. There is action. We're okay with the current membership levels. We got plenty of people in here. I got 5 song leaders, 10 guys to do prayers. I got plenty of people to do the Lord's Supper. I'm good. I got a congregation that's just one person doing it all. You think they want to grow? So how can we grow? A few things that I thought about. Teach our children. Joel 1 and 3 says, tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children and their children another generation. Talking about these locusts that had basically, I mean, if you read that story, it's just unbelievable. It basically just annihilated. Like in the back of in Judah. It annihilated. Even they would say there were sometimes these locusts would multiply at 400, they'd lay 400 eggs or something like that at once. So, and then the eggs, a couple days later, would hatch and they would just crawl. Just like ants everywhere. And then they, until they were able to fly. That's what these people said. But you know what? Pass this on. I want you to continue to remember this. This was bad news. But for ourselves, we need to teach our kids, right? This could happen to you, this could happen to you, this could happen to you. So you know what? This is why you need to be very in detail with the Bible and how to get overcome it. God's got it in there. Also, as mentioned last week, strengthen each other. Revelations 3 and 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Strengthen each other in this congregation. You have to know each other, as I mentioned last week. If you don't know each other, it's kind of hard to strengthen them in it, if you don't know what's wrong with them. It's kind of hard to give somebody medicine, right, if you don't know what to give them. Always look for open doors. You want this place to grow? God give you opportunities. I was just talking to Jeremy about this today. Talking about, man, I really don't like to give my lesson out. I want it to be a surprise. Right? Like, oh, he was saying, man, I opened it up, I was clicking, and he's like, oh, I can't, I'll spoil alert. That's what I always feel like, spoil alert for a movie or something. But in reality is, there's some people on here today that this is probably the first time in a couple, maybe ever, or maybe, that they've been able to be exposed to the gospel. And that's wonderful, isn't it? That's an open door. 1 Corinthians 16 and 8, but I will tarry in Ephesus unto Pentecost. For a great effective door is open to me, and there are many adversaries. And 2 Corinthians 2 and 12 says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. There's door openings all the time. Are you going to insert yourself in that door? The old example of how not to be a participation trophy is Jesus. And the way He did this, why He didn't believe, you know what, you're just part, just going to hit miss and not do a few things. Well, because He spoke and He was speaking the truth to people. He told them what they needed done. He told them they were in the wrong. Matthew 12 and 34, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He spoke out. When they were in wrong, He told them. Right? Asking more from us. Me and Dad talked about this at the beginning of the week. We have some strange conversations about different topics. It's weird. We bounce all over the place. But we were talking about this. Then Jesus said to His disciples, anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Denying? Do you know what denying himself is? You ever think about that? How tough is it, Rick, to deny yourself? Pretty tough, isn't it? You've got a lot of things spinning in the back of your head thinking, you know what, I got a lot more knowledge than that person. I know so much more than them. I'm going to interject my thoughts into them. But denying yourself. You know what? I am not going to put this person down. I'm going to take a step back and encourage them. I'm going to do whatever the Lord wants me to do in this life. Nothing's going to come in front of that. That's denying yourself. That's pretty tough. Jesus was another example of how you need to be not just a participation trophy. By being all in. When you come in, you signed up, when you was baptized, you made a commitment to be all in, didn't you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Showing He truly cares for us. Being all in. But on top of it, every person here loved them in entirety. Would give anything for them. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. And then last of all, never giving up. Too many people become discouraged and sit back because something happened to them in their life. Something either was misconstrued or something was point blankly said to them. And it hurts their feelings. And from then on out, they decided they're not going to participate. They're just going to be sitting. And that's the devil's opportunity to jump on the prize back in your life and say, you know what? Now you can continue with this stubborn attitude and continue. That's not how Jesus was it? He says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Matthew 19:26, right? Ain't that the case in life? So, if you have this attitude to sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride, I've been on a couple of roller coasters and I thought that would happen. And it was definitely not relax. It was, please get this over with. This was a mistake. But Christianity is not that case, is it? It's continuous work. Achievement is better than participation, right? Going all out and doing the best for the Lord. On Judgment Day, you just want to say, you know what, Lord, I did a few things. But as we're going to look at in 1 Corinthians, do not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize, right? One receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. How much do you feel like you've put forth in here? Just this week, how much did you put forth for the Lord? I know a lot of us had a lot of activities, right? I've seen the most spiritually minded probably wedding that I've seen, I don't know, maybe in my lifetime on Friday. Seriously. I was extremely impressed with each one, even the comments by several people of how much they truly loved the Lord and how much it made an impact through them, through the connection they had with the Lord. And that's to be commended. It was very heartfelt. For us as Christians, understanding that how grateful you are to see that. Because there's a lot of people that will participate in this life, ain't there? There's a lot of people who will participate in this. Saying Matthew 7:21-26 says, but not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Means there's going to be a lot of people. A lot of people that have done things. Yes, I've given multiple lessons. Yes, I've taught a lot. Yes, I've prayed a lot. Does that mean I'm making it to heaven? Right? That's how important this is to participate. This is a motivational speech, I don't know if you know that or not, about how we can go up and try to get encouraged. And those who have just sit there and let things happen and not done anything. But it's a lesson for us, encouragement to us, to sit, you know what? I haven't done what I'm supposed to do. Because do not be satisfied with a mediocre spiritual life. Don't. If you want to do anything in life, this is the one not to be like. Some people want it to happen. Some wish it would happen. Others make it happen. Right? I don't know if you know Michael Jordan. I don't personally know him, but I watched him play a lot. Very inspirational basketball player for those who wanted to get better. This quote, I always feel like, is a motivating tool for myself understanding a lot of times that I don't want to do something. And I just let other people do it. And I realize at the end of the day, God's blessed me beyond what I could ever imagine if I sit back and relax and let others do it. I feel like I'm letting God down. Don't you ever feel that way in your life? Second conclusion. Am I looking for a participation trophy from God? Am I looking for that? Am I looking for last? I mean, even though I didn't finish. Quick story for myself. Hoop shoot, state championship, went to Dayton. And I thought I was a pretty good shot. Not saying just pride come in. Don't get me wrong, but I realized there was other people out there. Hate me. But I made 22 out of 25 shots. And I have a person that struggled with nerves all my life. I mean, I'm glad I didn't sweat. Because I would have been drenched just standing there watching. This kid comes up against me. There was five of them. Last kid up. Comes up. Shoots 22 out of 25. We tie. So I go to mom. I'm like, what should I do? First or last? Because he's going to shoot. We've got to shoot shoot off of five. Well, he goes up. He misses one. He makes 4 out of 5. I'm like, oh, I got this. I make 2 out of 5. The trophy for first place was this big. Mine was this big. Throw that thing in the back seat. We left. And I thought about that myself. I'm like, I don't ever want second place ever in my life. And every time I got second, I was miserable. Always wanting to be the best. Some of these heartfelt situations in life really make an impact on you, don't they? But I've always been like that myself. I always feel like when I was playing a sport, I was always like that. But I never thought about it in Christianity, how much that really reflects on. Because I feel like, can I make a difference in someone's life this year? Because that's what I'm shooting for now, first place. But on Judgment Day, I want to make it to heaven, just as you do. How am I helping this congregation that I attend? How? Am I being the ultimate example for my family, other Christians, co-workers, and especially God? Are you? When you go to school, are you the ultimate example for them? Or they just know you're just one of the bunch? When you're at work, oh, that guy goes to West Main. Really? You really want them to know that? Or you're truly appreciative that you are a reflection of West Main? That matters, everyone. That impact matters. Where am I going? What am I going to do today, tomorrow, and next week for my Lord? What have I got planned? What have I in my mind? What am I planning to do that's going to make this congregation grow? What is it? At the end, make something happen. Make it happen. So, I got a video here, real short video. I had to do a clip of it. And I want you to think about, like, you're going to see people that you knew that are gone. You're going to see, like, different situations. You're going to look at, you're going to think about, where was this made at? And then the situation that went on with it. So, I know it's hard to think about when you're understanding who these people are and what impact they had on you. So others will look at yourself thinking, wow, it's been that long ago. It's been almost 40 years ago, if you think about it. The people in these pictures, I'll be honest with you, even though I went here all my life, I don't remember. I remember some of them. I remember a few of them. But this was West Main just a few months back. But it's not a few months back.
It's actually several years ago. A lot of you wasn't even born when this was taken. And when I think about these situations like this, you feel like you're just like, do you realize yourself of how many opportunities have come and went? And either opportunities for get-togethers, the opportunities for us to know each other better. One of the few things I remember as a kid is going down to the basement of West Main, the old building, and folding bulletins. Remember that? Me and Gary Jr. was flicking the paper football he made. He was the engineer of it. Mine lasted one flick. But what I'm getting at is, these are all memories and things that took place. And it was time to get... That was with Ken and Alice Frazier. That's when they left. And one of the comments on there, I was trying to do the clip that. That thing was about 35 minutes long. And the comment was, he asked Ken and Alice what they thought about West Main when they attended there. And Ken, I just barely make it out, but he was just like, it was one of the greatest times in his life. That's what he remembered. The impact that he had on his congregation. So how did that happen? You ask yourself, how did that happen? A lot of it was our time together, wasn't it? The time we were able to open our homes up. Carl and Bonnie, I remember multiple times went out there and singing new hymns or old hymns in a circle around there, multiple chairs, kids played together. But guys, the devil's working on us to keep us away. And a lot of you, if you think about it, you probably wish you would have made that. Some of you weren't here, but a lot of you, if you missed that opportunity to be there, they're 40 years later down the road, that's still going, right? Those people come and going, some of them left. My mother's on there. Georgiana, there was multiple people. Donna, Josephine. There's a few people that I remember in there that have come and gone. So when there's an opportunity for you to come together, why aren't you joining it? Why are you not attending church functions? Why? Because are you shooting for a participation trophy then? Why aren't you opening your homes up and having other members up? These are opportunities for us to grow. This guy that shot this video, just so you know, me and Rick go and preach for him every once in a while at a different congregation. But he still attends. George and Donna was where this was at. And you think about that, there was just multiple people all the time opening their homes up. We have the opportunity now. We don't have an excuse here in about a couple weeks for not being able to do this. But what I'm getting at is, if you sit here today and you continue not to participate, what do you think is in store for you on Judgment Day? What's in your heart, or what can prick your heart to move you to the next phase in life of you wanting to be the best? The best. I went home after that. Yesterday I went home and I shot. Would you say, what, 5 free throws after that? About 50,000. More like it. But I wanted to be the best. What's going to motivate you to be the best today? What's it going to take? Ask yourself that. What's it going to take? Because you know what? There's videos being made every day. And I hope 40 years from now, a lot of us are going to be going, aren't we? But I want to make sure, myself, there was a function, I attended it. Not because I want to be on the video for the preacher, but because I truly wanted to assemble with other members of the congregation. If you have a sin in your life, that's really keeping you from being the best that you can be. Why don't have this congregation pray for you? Well, you want to be the best in your life, the best person that you could be? It's making the decision to become baptized. Because you sit there and you wonder yourself, why am I baptized? I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I don't want to live that. The opportunity to not be a Christian. Why not have that opportunity taken care of today? Think about these things, and I want you to ponder on them yourself, either today
or throughout the day or this week, thinking, how can I get better? We encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.